Turn with me today to the book of John, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Title of the message is, Let Her Alone. Let Her Alone. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Father, we thank you this morning, dear God, for the privilege of this service. We thank you that you have met with us already. We thank you, O God, that it is your intention to continue to move in this place, even in larger ways, as we give you availability into our lives. We pray, Father, as we go farther in this service, we pray that each one of us in this room would open ourselves and enlarge our capacity because you'll fill the house. We ask today, Father, that we'd drink of your word. Drink deep, O God. Sit long. And Father, wait in your presence, Lord, and ask and receive. And listen to what you would say to us today. We pray for the anointing of the Holy God to fill this house. Let gospel truth be given. Let the Spirit of the Lord enliven our thoughts. We pray, God, that you would shake and take hold of everything that would be an obstruction to anyone in this room, Lord Jesus. We pray that every demon of hell would be cast out. We pray, Father, that every residing element of sin would be exposed for what it is. We pray that men and women would be made free running to the foot of the cross, O God. We pray, God, that you'd move mightily in this room. We'll give you the thanks for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, you know these siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. You know these. We've seen these names before. Now, Jesus is in the house. And Mary, who comes and she begins to pour this expensive oil upon Jesus' feet, begins to anoint him and minister unto him. One of the disciples, Judas, who we know that name is always assimilated to a betrayer. He is a thief. He is a liar. He is sown among God's disciples, one of the 12, and yet he is the one who betrayed the Lord. And so we see some very known names in the New Testament here as they are characters in this scene. Mary is there ministering unto the Lord and worshiping the Lord in this very tangible way. Judas says, why was not this expensive amount placed into the hands of the poor that they may be ministered unto? It says of him that he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he held the bag and he stole and grafted from the bag. Jesus says, let her alone. Now, I don't know by what inflection of the voice that he used. I don't believe Jesus had to use an inflected voice to minister his words with authority, and yet he said, let her alone. Let her be. Let her be. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Saints, there are times when God allows his own to be used in some very special circumstances in life. Mary did not know she was anointing Jesus for his burial. As far as she was concerned, she was simply giving him the praise that he was due. Amen. There are times, church, when God so moves upon your heart in a special dynamic way. He makes his presence known. We're standing in his midst, and there is an aroma of praise. There is an attitude of worship that takes a hold of the saint of God. Now, saints, in one way, you and I are worshiping God in the altar. We're there worshiping the Lord in that pew. Our hands are lifted up in spontaneous praise unto God. We're worshiping according to the given moment. Our heart is simply responding to God because he is generally worthy of praise. Can somebody say amen? But saint of God, the truth is you never know what's going on through God behind the veil. She had no idea that this oil was ministering unto Jesus' death. She was anointing him for his burial. She had no idea, and yet her worship was a part of a bigger thing. Come on, somebody say amen. I've given you the story several years ago. We were at convention. I heard Brother Burke, as he gave his testimony, who was then very involved in Indian missions for the School of Christ. He gave this one particular testimony. He said, the tribe came to this witch doctor and said, you're going to have to do something about this woman. There's a woman every morning and every evening in her hogan. She is there and she's praying. And she begins to pray in the strangest kind of a language. And it's upsetting us. It's disturbing our peace and rest. And we want you to do something about that. They leave. It's 2 weeks later. They come back and say to the witch doctor, listen, we told you we wanted you to do something about that woman. You've done nothing. He said, listen, when you left, I began to gather my incantations and I began to cast my fire. I could see that woman. In my mind, I had a vision of her. She was there in her hogan. She's down on her knees. And he said, I began to cast my fiery darts at her. I thought that was unusual terminology. I began to cast my fiery darts at her. It was as if an impenetrable shield was over that hogan. I could not penetrate it with those darts. And then she began to pray in that language. And it was as if fire began to explode out of her mouth. He said to those gathered, I said, best thing you can do is leave that woman be. Hear me, saints, there are times when you and I are just in an attitude of worship and praise unto God, but you never know what's going on through God behind the veil. You never know what's being administered in holy places. Here we are in attitudes of worship. Can you imagine when God says to Satan, where have you been? I've been going through the earth. He said, if you've considered my servant Job, he said he only serves you because you bless him. Saints, Job was simply carrying on a life of worship and surrender to God, a worthy God who is worthy of praise. But he did not know what was going on in the throne room of heaven. There was a contest in heaven, and God was about to be glorified as God again in a man's life who simply give God the true and dedicated worship that he deserved. Hallelujah! Let her alone. Let her alone. Years ago, you know, a lot of this began to happen through stages in our churches. Our home pastor, there was one particular time, there was a church, there was a woman in that church, loved God, worshiped the Lord, tarry long in the altar, weep and cry, pray in the spirit. Finally, a new minister came into the pulpit. She'd come and he went over to her and said, we don't want any of that. It'll disturb some of these newer members we have coming. We don't want that in the church. Moved her out of the altar and back into the pew. We want nothing to do with that. Saints, we've gotten to the place. We've moved. We want something that it just move it into the more. Let's get it streamlined. Let's get people comfortable. Make folks comfortable to come to the house of God. Let's create an atmosphere that's conducive for the masses. Let's do something where people can come and they're not burdened by the weight of sin and conviction. It's been said today that the grossest kind of preaching is that which speaks of repentance and the blood. We want to take the blood out of the hymnals and we want to take it. Friends, I'm going to tell you, without the shed blood of Jesus, you can't even be born again. My God. Nothing but the blood. Amen. But we want a comfortable religion. We want something that falls generally and softly upon our ears so that there's a palate to digest. And church, today we're selling a religion and a salvation people can afford. Come on. and we're buying into a salvation that we can afford. My God, we're quoting a prayer, kneeling at a bench, and going on in life as usual. But here was a woman that understood something altogether different. Martha is in the kitchen serving, and Lazarus is there, I'm sure, communing with Jesus. And here comes Mary in a devoted act of worship unto God as she begins to anoint and to worship, to lavish him in her own praises, in her own way. Judas says, because he has no mind for the things of God. This needs to be carried. There's poor outside the door. And saints, it amazes me that today, anytime a church begins to energize itself toward things that appear to be God, we don't get in the altar. We start knocking doors and gathering food supplies. And we start gathering clothing so we can build clothing rooms and buying buses. My God, hear me, saints. I'm not against that essentially, but the heart of it has to be right. Amen. Jesus said, here in this time, he said, why wasn't this given to the poor? Some foolish individual would say, well, that's right. You know, this woman could have spent that, fed several families. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with me always, with you always, but me you'll not have with you always. Saints, how could he say that when he would return back to the Father? He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Ghost. That means I'll be here by my Spirit. Then what could he essentially been saying? He could have been saying, saints, that if you don't worship me, the rocks will cry out. If you lose this opportunity of worship, I'll be gone and you won't even know that I vacated the place. You'll have the needs surrounding your life. You can minister to the belly of the poor, and you put a coat on somebody's back and a knapsack on some child's shoulder, but you'll miss me in the house. My God, he would conclude by saying, let her alone. Let her alone. Saints of God, it's time that God's church learned again how to worship the Lord. Amen. It's time that you didn't concern yourself who is around you, what somebody thought. Are we here to be foolish? Are we here to be childlike? Are we here to be indifferent to people's feelings? Oh no, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the pursuit of the child of God. This is that pursuit. He is my God and he is worthy of praise. If you believe it, would you lift both hands in praise? Praise in this house. Let her alone. Let her alone. Now, saints, we have come to maintain the position of Judas today. Judas was a betrayer. Judas was a thief. He held the bag. We're seeing that in the church world today. We have no understanding of the deep roots of worship. No. We don't understand the deep roots of worship. I was watching something the other day on the internet, on YouTube. It was a church. In that church, I'd heard that pastor of the past. I knew that line of preaching of the past. I knew the attitude of that church of the past. Now I was watching their video on YouTube. I'm watching that video. I'm watching on the platform. There, portrayed by the youth department, including the youth pastor, the very thing I know that would have been preached against in that past. As I was there, we were in the audience of a family there. We're watching that, and you know, there's questions on the mind. The children want to show us what's going on there, and so we're wanting to watch, want to be careful with our words. We'd seen it before, and it comes on, and we're watching that on the internet, and I see that finally I thought, I've got to make a statement here. Somehow said, you know, that surprised me when I saw that on the platform. All of a sudden, you could see that mama's eyes open up. The things she had thought about but was afraid to say was now declared. I said, it concerned me when I saw that. And now you could see if there had been a grappling of truth inside those parents, the kids, good kids, but could not see it through their own immaturity because somebody's got to lead them. Come on, church. Somebody has got to lead them. We've got religion on display everywhere you look, but Jesus you don't have with you always. How do we maintain Jesus in the house? We're going to have to get back to true worship. Amen. Somebody say, oh, am I all for that? Let's enlarge in the platform. Let's put a few more guitars on it. Let's lower the lights. Let's get the fog machine going. Let's get into praise. Let's jump up and down and hoop and holler. Saints, I'm going to tell you, your praise starts when you open your eyes in the morning. Hallelujah. Worship is all day long in every step that you take. Don't tell me you can sing these gospel hymns on Sunday morning when you live like the devil in every choice and decision and attitude that you maintain. Saints, if you're going to worship God on Sunday, you better be prepared Tuesday afternoon to give God praise with the choice that you make, with the conversation and the company that you keep. If you believe it, would you give him a praise in this house? Let her alone. Let her alone. I don't care what kind of decisive individual Judas was. When Jesus said, let her alone, he wasn't going to touch her again. There was no word of accusation that would ever buy him time in Christ's presence. And he would never halt the forward progression of Mary's pursuit of worship. I don't believe the woman slowed down. Come on, saints. I believe she could feel the tremor. If she knew Jesus was not into what she's doing, she could feel it through the veins in his feet. Come on, saints. I'm telling you, there was a laying hold of Christ in an attitude of worship. I've never felt like Mary ever looked up to see what was on Christ's mind. Never have felt, never struck my mind as if Mary ever looked up to see if Jesus was displeased. I believe she could feel it in his feet. Oh, hallelujah. That steadfast presentation of himself so that the world could handle him. Saints, I'm glad Christ was handled. You and I handle him when we handle him in praise. My God, we're privileged to come into that holy place to give God essential praise. I'm not talking about the thing we've created today. I'm talking about that which touches the heart of God. I'm talking about when God's people entertain worship in the holy place. For there is a holy place. There's a cloudy pillar. There is a divine oracle. There is a place in the presence of God where you and I can go. As Mary was there sitting at the feet of Jesus, she was in the place where God is. You and I can be in the place where God is. Come on, saints of God. I said, we can dwell in the place where God is. Let her alone. All of these deeds and duties and responsibilities will be about you. Jesus gave us provision for those necessities to minister to the weak, the sick, the infirm, the widows, the orphans, the children, for those in the prison, those in the hospital, all of those things he made provision for. But he said, these you're going to have with you always. You feed the poor today, they'll show up tomorrow. They'll be here and they'll be again. There were a time when Jesus fed the multitude with 5 loaves, 2 fish, 50,000 at probably, 5,000 multiplied by many times over. They came the next day looking for the same thing. Saints, as long as you're willing to stick food in somebody's mouth, they'll come back with an open mouth tomorrow. Come on, church. That's not the purpose of Christ. Amen. He said, labor not for that meat which perisheth. No, but that which is eternal. Amen. He said, lest you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me. He did not multiply fish and bread on the second day. Oh, no. He turned them away by his preaching. Why? Because they were there for the loaves and the fishes, but they're not hanging about the throne for the body and the blood. They wanted something to be stuck in their mouth, but they had no appetite for the real things of God. There are people that will come to church because there's enough programs to minister to their fleshly desire. But saints, when you invite them into the altar, everything changes there. My God, we build great churches based on our Sunday morning service. I'm against that. You build a great church based on your Wednesday night service, and you'll see where the people's heart are. Come on, saints. Don't you build that people and say, well, we can't have a week revival because people won't come. Oh, no. We shut it down to a Sunday through a Wednesday and then back it off to a Saturday, Sunday. Why? Because the people won't come. Saints, I'm going to tell you, when the crowd begins to dwindle, go into 2 weeks. Amen. Because now you've got the heartthrob of that church. You know where the real desire is. And if Jesus can turn a world upside down with a handful of people, I'm telling you, you're preaching to the heartbeat of America when you're touching the church of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, would you give him a praise? Oh my God, let her alone. Let her alone. I know what she's doing, and so does she. She tapped into the nature of Christ. Saints of God, the church must come back to the nature of Christ. Oh God Almighty. I know. I've dealt with this. You know, growing up in school, going through school, I don't know how it was in your school, but I grew up in a small town high school, We had the athletes. I played football, so I was in the athletes, you know. Then we had the FFA. You know, if you were an athlete, you didn't get an FFA. And if you were in the band, you weren't an athlete nor an FFA. And then we had, they weren't the geeks. They were kind of the drug addict crowd. Nobody, if one of these groups didn't catch you, they would. And so you had that. Then you had pockets along, just mavericks, just individuals, didn't quite get caught up in all of that. They just kind of go through. Well, you find yourself, got Christ there, and as a Christian, you know, you're always in that minority. Well, I was in that minority, played football, but in that minority. And saints, there's that, I grew up in that nature, so did you. I give the testimony of everyone in this room. You grew up trying to fit into some group. Amen. Trying to align yourself, maybe consciously, sometimes subconsciously, trying to be a part of something. Maybe you either got in or you didn't. Well, we know that that mindset's carried us all through. Before you went to school, there was a block of kids possibly you lived on, and there was a popular, the unpopular, you know. So you're trying, all of that mentality, trying to set in. Well, then here comes that thing which is of Christ. Amen. I remember growing, I grew up in the Baptist church. My uncle was a Nazarene. I've told you this several times. Grew up in that nominal church. Some guy in my junior high said, there's a woman trying to get us to speak in tongues in our church. I said, "Woo, you better look out now. That's bad news." And so moved on. Finally in junior high, I went to my grandmother's church. We moved to Bonham, Texas. Went to the Pentecostal church. Didn't know anything about that. But there were some people in there that knew God. Now, saints, when you get a hold of somebody that knows God, that's the first thing you're looking for. You know, theology can throw you a stumbling block, but you're looking for somebody that knows God. Once you align yourself with that person, then you begin to look at what they believe with a brand new vision. You begin to think about it because you're watching that life from every vantage point. Let me see if I see God in that. Now, I don't know about what they believe, but I feel God inside that vessel. There's something different about that. Well, the Pentecostal church maintained that heritage for a time. I've seen a lot of foolishness in Pentecost more than any other place. Why is that? Because the closer you get to the holy spiritual things of God, the more you either enliven or endanger yourself. It is a dangerous thing to touch the holy things of God. I don't want anybody coming to this church feeling like you can come in a casual, familiar way and tiptoe and be brought right into the inner circle. Oh, no. I've told you before, I was shoving you out that door when you walked through it. Saints, be careful and be thankful of that every day of your life, because it says this, you either are or you're not. I want there be no shadows for which you and I can hide ourselves. I want us to know what the way is. Remember what the man said to the angel of the Lord, are you for us or against us? And the reply was, nay, but I'm captain of the Lord's host. He said, no, the perspective is not from your eyes, it's only from the Father's. If you're on the Lord's side, I'm on your side. But if you're not, I am against you. Oh my God, that is the safest territory in which the church can reside. And so therefore, all of a sudden, it's about Christ. It's not about a Pentecostal denomination. Whether you're speaking in tongues or you don't. Whether you believe in the rapture or you don't. Or you believe about the cross or you don't. The world is looking for something they can touch. Something they can believe in. Amen. Something that can approach God, something that has gotten hold of the nature of God, something who is the essence of Christ. And once that's set up in that life, saint of God, they won't know what Landmark Tabernacle means. Is that Methodist? Is it Nazarene? Is it Independent? Is it Pentecostal? They don't know. Saints of God, that's all right by me. The first thing I want them to know is that there is something different about that life. I sense there is a character of a different nature. And once they come to know that, it'll break down all barriers. They're going to look at you from every angle as they looked at Christ. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night and asked him hard questions. And Christ had immediate answers. If you believe it, can you say amen? Hear me say, let her alone. The poor you have with you always. There's always going to be some need just outside your reach. But me, you'll not always have with you. Only worship can keep you in the center of my presence. Come on, saints of God. As we live and we walk in this way, to know him, to know him, to know him. I don't want to be Pentecostal. I'm just going to let that hang for a moment. I don't want to be Pentecostal. I wouldn't save to be Pentecostal. I wouldn't save to be Baptist, Nazarene, Methodist, or anything else. I was saved to be a child of God. And moving out from that point, I'm called to embrace everything that his word declares over the child of God's life. You believe that this morning? Then it becomes my responsibility and privilege to understand what the word of God has to say about my heart and what should be invested into my life. And saint of God, every true child of God has that nature. It is born within them a deep and endearing desire. Lord, I want to know who you are and the way you are and the way you walk. I want to follow you and do your will. I want to love you. I lavish you with my praise. Oh God, I'm not going to bring the trinkets that the kids have broken, and I'm going to bring you all that. Oh no, that wore out furniture and take it down. And I'll give you 10% of what I sold in the garage sale. Oh God, I'm not going to bring you. We don't like this anymore. Stale by 3 days, but we're going to bring it in here and give it to God. Or, you know, I had $10 left over after I spent $1,000 on my vacation. I'm going to bring it down here and throw it in a little offering. God, you know, go bless the church. No, saints. She brought expensive stuff. I've got a feeling she's saved for it. It was a thing of great price to her. It meant a great deal. And she brought it down. And she didn't bring it into the sanctuary. She took it to her sister's house where Jesus would be. And there was only going to be a few folks there. That the very few folks would know what happened. Jesus would know. And she'd break it, not pour it out on his head. You know, we want to pour it out on his head. Come on. I mean, we want to pour it out on his head. Oh, no. She poured it out on his feet. Oh, my. Begin to wipe. Oh, come on, church. Worship. Amen. We've lost it, but she'd become intimate with God, Christ, amen. Well, you got this word of religion. Said this ought to be given to the poor. Why? Mindset is on the thing of the world. He's carrying the bag and he is a thief. It's the nature of who he is. It comes out of his voice. Saints, we're exposing the nature of our existence by our lack of worship, amen. Our understanding of it. We don't know what that is. She knew what it was to worship God. And he said, anybody that approaches unto this who truly knows how to worship me, there will be that quick hand of it. You let her alone. She knows what she's doing. She's worshiping. She has no idea what's behind the veil. I'm going to die on a cross and she is anointing me for my burial. But you let her alone. She's worshiping me. Judas, you don't know what nature you're of. You're a thief. You're going to betray me. You steal from the bag. That's the nature of who you are. Saint of God, can I tell you, by and large, for the vast majority of the church world today, no matter what name's above the door, it's that we've come to the place of Judas. We're more concerned about the sick, or we say we are. I've watched the other day, we were there, I believe the same period, we were watching something there on the internet, and I saw this ministry, they're giving out to the poor, and my mind, I can't help my mind go, the camera's just right, the smile's on the face. Could that have been 5 minutes there in that line given to the poor? But there's no touch of the presence of God. How many have lined up for that same purpose? How many large evangelistic meetings have said we've had so many thousands saved? As many as we have had saved in evangelistic meetings, saints, said not be one lost upon the planet for all of the numbers that are turned in. But as I told you last Sunday, saints, we've come to the place, we've reached a station when we can only reproduce what we are. And the church has fallen to such stages. What makes the difference? These two people characterize the difference. There's one person that knew how to worship God, and one caught in the throes of religion who had no idea who was standing in his midst, a man who would follow him as one of his intimate own, but did not know him as the God of heaven and would not do so until complete betrayal had come over his life. But there was one lady that knew how to worship God, and she would be remembered even on this Sunday morning in 2011, over 2,000 years ago. And Christ would say today, as he said then, let her alone. If you believe it, would you give him praise? Hallelujah. Church, I dare you to praise him. I dare you to worship God as he deserves and as belongs to God. I dare you to forget about those about you that would be what you ought to do, what you ought to do, and just worship him. Is he worthy? I tell you that he is. I tell you that God is worth every ounce of energy that we can expend upon him. Giving our best. Giving our best. Don't give him the leftovers. If we give him only the leftovers, that's only what we know about God. Give him our best. Our best. Our life's blood, the greatest offering. She poured herself out there in worshiping the Lord. She cared not for those who were in attendance as she worshiped God. Saints of God, if you and I restore worship back in the church, God will remain in the midst. Do you believe that? Lift your hands with me across this room. Father, we thank you today, God Almighty. We worship you in this house. Come on, saints, lift your hands. Oh, if he's worthy of worship, you worship him. If he's not, don't. But if he is, you worship him this morning, caring not for those about you. Oh, my. Mary didn't align herself with the crowd when she chose to worship God. She worshiped only because he was worthy and she loved him. Oh, my God. Worship him. Hallelujah. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. That was just worship. I don't care what you call it. That was worship. Why? Because the ark of God was coming back into the city. Saints of God, when God returns, if I be lifted up above the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. We know that it was speaking of Christ's crucifixion, but there was a double meaning, I'm sure. You lift me up in worship. You extol me in gratitude. You glorify my name. And I'll draw the masses to that element. Amen. Saint of God, you get hungry for God. And somebody is looking for something real to believe in. If you will truly live for God, not your nature. Don't mix it with who you are and who God is. But the pure heart of God, if you'll live that life, somebody is going to notice. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody will view you from every vantage point. It'll drop down every barrier until they become hungry for what is inside of you. Oh, my God Almighty. As my wife makes her way to the piano, you're shut in with the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you. Right now, I want you to ask yourself in the intimacy of your soul, God, what value have I placed on worship? Oh, God. God, what value? What value? God, how have I poured or failed to pour myself out before you? I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I exalt you, Lord. You're worthy. I want to give you everything. Everything, everything, everything. Everything. See, friends, you can bring your sack lunch because there's folks that hadn't eaten that day. You can start administering out of your lunch bag. 5 loaves, 2 fish, not going to feel very many. But when you put what you have, place it in the hands of the Master, it's when the multiplication begins there. That ointment, that spikenard, you know, she could have fed a few houses, maybe met a few folks that day, kept them from going hungry. When she lavished that expense upon the Lord in humble true praise, I can tell you, saints, as an aroma to feel the environment about that place. You know, I found that if a man can really worship God, if somebody will really give everything to God, everything. If you really get hungry for God and you live that hungry life on that job, somebody is going to notice. As a matter of fact, many people will. They'll see it on the job. Somebody else will pick it up down at the convenience mart where you buy your gas. And then when you drive your car into your driveway, two or three folks are going to pick it up there in the community. And your children are going to notice it. And folks that come over are going to see it. And it doesn't make any difference who's around. You're going to lavish your love on Christ. Just like this woman, saint of God, folks can't help but get saved. May not be when you see it. You may not even be in attendance when they do. But there are folks going to be saved. And saints, that doesn't put food in the hungry man's mouth. But a saved man, the writer said, I've never seen forsaken or his seed begging for bread. So if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things shall be added unto you. So let her alone. There's more happening here than you know, unless you know. Won't you stand with me across this room, around this building? I just want us to pray for a few moments. This prayer, God, my Father, Lord, you're worthy of all my praise. Lord, God, what kind of praise have I been giving you? Lord, have I been giving you the leftovers or just the minimal? That's enough. I'm going to give you a tip, God. Lord, I want to this morning, I want to lavish you with praise. Not so that I can just catch up time. Well, I hadn't done it in a while. I need to do it today it lasts for a while. No. Lord, I want to feel the pulse of your heart through your feet. God, as my hands and my hair caress, and that oil covers you. God, I don't want there to be any distance between us. For those about, God, the tears and the ointment and the oil, whatever, however you express, you're giving praise to God. Saints, nothing matters but God. It doesn't. It's just the Lord. I believe, church, I believe you believe. That's the only kind of praise really, truly touches the deep heart of God. Lift your hands with me across this room. If he's worthy of praise, then give it. But if he's not, don't. Worship him this morning, this place. My wife begins to sing. I just want you standing where you are in the presence of the Lord. If he's worthy of praise, then you give him your best. Don't give him what you're comfortable with. Anybody can do that. Give him a wore-out shirt you like wearing. God, I'm going to give you my favorite house shoes. No, you give him your absolute best. You know, there's something best at your house that you give it. You're going to think about it before it leaves your hand. I'd intimidate you a little bit to know you got to give it away. Well, you give that to God. It ought to scare you every once in a while, and you really get hungry for God. Let's worship him across this room. Oh, thank you. Come on, saints. What kind of praise from you does he deserve? You give him that this morning. If he's truly worthy, you give him that.
Be glorified.
There are plenty of folks around you said, oh, this display, this energy that you're giving ought to be displayed in another direction. Do somebody some good.
Be glorified.
Oh, Lord. Saints, we've become so ignorant in the church of what truly is necessary. We've lost him. Oh, let's have him come back. Let's invite Christ into the community of the church. Come on, let's bring him home. Oh, let the ark come back in the city. Let's worship him this morning. If you really want to worship the Lord, I want you to come into the area of this altar. Come on, you can stand, kneel, whatever you want to do. If you really want to worship it, bring it in here to this altar. Bring it. There's enough room. Come on, all across this building, you bring it into this altar. Oh, this altar area, church.
I give you all.
Hallelujah, let's worship him.
Yes, I give you all.
My God.
With all.
Son of God, don't be afraid to stretch yourself in his presence. Stretch yourself out in worship. Oh, hallelujah. You got that bottle with you? Are you just barely opening the lid. Just a little pour here. Let's make it last. Let's make it last. Oh no, son. You make it last, it's gonna dry up on you. Dry up. They went out for the manna. Let's make it last. No, it rot. Sun went down, it rot. Oh no. You open that top, throw that lid away, because you intend that all of the contents are going to be given today, right now. Pour out your praise before God. Stretch yourself in His presence. Pour it all out there. Let the house be filled with the aroma of praise, as if there's not another day. God, I'll have not another moment to worship. There'll be no Sunday night, no next Wednesday, no next weekend. This morning's it. God, I'm giving all praise. You'll do that now, church. You fill this house. I'll tell you, that bottle will be completely full for you to do it again. Hallelujah. And Christ will be in the center of our worship. Oh, my God. Let's worship Him in this.
Oh, with all my heart. Oh, my Lord.
Sweet sound in your ear.
Oh, yes, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. I'm gonna worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King. Oh, I want you to find joy. Oh, yes. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, I love you, Lord. And I will lift my voice. I'm gonna worship you. My soul, I say my soul rejoice. Oh, I want you to take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet